bad idea. Hi, everybody. It's Jeff Dunham. I'm in the garage. And here you see folks on Facebook. So we're doing both Facebook and YouTube Live. And my technical abilities on the Facebook camera have gone haywire. And
exceeded their limits.
Yeah. It's the Peter principle. I have reached to my... anyway, so what I'm doing is the folks on Facebook, I am paper taping you to the ring light.
Perfect.
Okay, hang on. Okay, almost. Well, except Matt, it's not tilted right. Hang on.
So you don't cover up the cameras with your blue tape.
Oh, I know that. I got to cover up the cameras. Hold on, everybody on YouTube. We're getting there. Hang on. Okay, it's got to be a good shot, though. Oh, man, come on. This blows. Matt's laughing at me. Oh, my Lord. This is awful. Okay, how can I...
The worst part is you had this, like, all set up. You were ready to go. Like,
I had it perfect.
You called me, and, like, you had the ring light and the tape going, and it was awesome. And then, oh, no, we can't turn the image sideways.
Yeah, and then the image wouldn't let me turn it. Oh, I think I got it now. I think I got it. Is that that's not a good shot either. Hold on, everybody. Oh, this is so stupid. Okay, I think on Facebook we should start over, Matt.
You might. You got a lot of headroom there.
Oh, sorry, everybody. And on YouTube, sorry. Oh, Lord. How is this going to work right? Sorry, everybody. Matt, this just is awful. Okay, so if I put something, but oh, is it gonna stay?
Oh, that was kind of close.
Yeah, but it was falling too. All right, so that might work. Is that gonna work? It's gonna fall. Is that a good shot? No, it's not. Ah. Okay, Matt. So you're in the picture. Oh, there. It's falling. It's falling. Oh no. Okay, hang on. So everybody, just go get a cup of coffee. We'll be ready in a couple minutes here. Look, we're losing people on Facebook. They're like, nope.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay, this might work. One last piece of
that
tape.
Doesn't look bad.
No, okay. So one last piece. Oh, it doesn't look bad because you're in it, and I'm not.
No. I mean, I just, from what I can see, I can only see it's like a tiny thing that I can see in my...
Okay. This might work. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I think we got it.
The lag on Facebook is whatever.
Okay. Hi, everybody. It's Jeff Dunham. And we're in the workshop, and we're on Facebook Live, and we're on YouTube Live as well. And you know what's sad, Matt, is that we have more people on Facebook, and they had to suffer through all that.
Well, you know.
All right. So, folks, we're here today to talk about a number of things. And the peanut dummy is coming along really well. And by the way, Matt, could you confirm with Fausto that he can hear us on both platforms?
Yeah, I will. And I just switched over to YouTube. YouTube looks great, and I think it sounds pretty good. And then I got Facebook, and I have an image, and I'll wait for Fausto to record that.
Okay, great. So anyway, we're talking about this peanut dummy, and I've talked about this before, but I'll just go through it real quick. So we have the little Jeff ventriloquist dummy, and that was a fictitious character, whereas Peanut is a real character in my act. He's not fictitious, but I decided to make a dummy of him that people could actually buy. And Matt, it's turned out that he's exactly 65%, so two-thirds the size of the real Peanut.
Wow, that's the fact that you were able to hit that.
Yeah, I know. It was, you know, 66 and a third percent would have been it. But he's actually 65%. And I figured that out because I sculpted him and then just measured him. And it happened to be almost exactly two thirds. So you all may have seen this before. I've done a few adjustments, but I already showed it. So that is the Peanut head. And he's going to be a regular ventriloquist dummy. The real Peanut is a Muppet type character. But I thought for little kids that want to be doing this, it's hard to hold your arm up in the air for any amount of time while doing a little show or performing. So I decided to make a regular ventriloquist dummy out of Peanut, where the dummy can sit on your knee or sit on a stand. So instead of having the cloth face like a Muppet, like Peanut, He now has a hard face, and he's going to be made out of the plastic vinyl, the same stuff that plastic or vinyl, whatever it is, that the little Jeff is made out of. He's going to have a head stick like this. Oh, my wife's pulling up with our dog. Little Rhodey had some medical problems.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Rhodey had to go get her little butt thing drained.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was hurting. Her little gland had gotten big. Anyway, sorry about that. So... Anyway, so the ventriloquist dummy is going to work just like this, and I think it's pretty great. You got the little trigger right there, and he's going to talk like this, and he's cute as hell, and I got the paint right, the color I went round and round on, and you can see the images over here. Here's a Tom Richmond image of Peanut. There's our bobblehead of Peanut. Hi, sweetie. You can come say hi if you want to. We're on Facebook and on YouTube, and the technology's amazing. I got it down, and we were on live like that. Yeah.
So, just so you know, some people are saying that my audio is low. I can yell if you like.
Your audio is low?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Could you do me a giant favor?
Hello.
Could you get me my laptop out of the office right here? Because I'm going to put Matt on. This is going to be a challenge, Matt.
Two laptops.
Yeah, we're going to. I need a laptop, and there's that cord right in front of the desk on the ground, a teeny tiny skinny little cord. Thank you, sweetness. All right.
So while you're waiting for that, one of the things that there were a lot of questions about, and I think it was brought up by the thumbnail that you posted yesterday for these Ask Me Anything, is you're not replacing Peanut with a hard figure.
No, I'm not replacing the real Peanut. This is a toy. This is a semi-professional dummy that people are going to be able to purchase, just like little Jeff. Thank you, sweetheart. Did you get that? Oh, that cord. Okay, and then the last thing I need is one of those fancy heavy-duty speakers that's in there.
Little bowling balls?
The little bowling ball, yes. The little bowling ball and the cord that's plugged into the wall.
And where are they?
They're right in the family room right there.
Okay.
Yeah, right there on the floor next to their toy chest.
Okay.
Okay, so Matt, I'm going to make you louder.
Perfect.
All right. So, no, Matt, go ahead and have people ask me questions if they want, and I will sit here and try and do this.
Yeah, so the first thing was a lot of people were asking, is Peanut getting a redesign, which is awesome. I'm glad that you...
Peanut is not getting a redesign. This, again, is just a toy that's going to happen, and a lot of people are going to... Everybody's going to be able to purchase it, and we hope to have him out by Black Friday. So, but while she's doing that, let me show you this right here. So that's the head, but then the body is very important too. And this is straight out of the 3D printer. And the way I do this is I build the prototypes myself and then I send them to the factory and I copy them. So the original Peanut's body is hollow because your hand goes up inside it like this. So I've made this and they're going to make it out of a softer, like, is it called PLA? I don't know what it's called. I don't know what it's called. It's a softer material. It's like a cardboard, but... lightweight and more comfortable. But I made this so they can copy the real one out of it. Thank you, sweetie. Hold on, Matt. We got your speaker here. And...
While you're setting that up, and Audrey's here,
yeah.
You did a Facebook Live yesterday
with
you guys going through a car wash with the boys, which was very, very cute. However... I have a little bit of a bone to pick.
All right, so we went through the car wash yesterday.
Right.
And Matt...
And if you haven't seen the video on Facebook, you can go check that out. But being a car guy, it just hurts my soul to see you put that car through one of those car washes where the dirty rags slap the side of the
Okay, car. So what Matt's talking about, if you don't can't hear him, we took the family through a car wash yesterday. It's on Facebook. And we went through the car wash in the Tesla. And Matt's upset because as a car guy, you don't do that.
Right.
You don't go through car washes in nice cars. But Matt, here's my thing. The Tesla is an amazing vehicle. It's fantastic. It's probably, you know, arguably the best car that we own, hands down, all things considered. You know what I mean? I mean, we love the Durango and all that, but it is the future. It is, I mean, Elon has done things... unbelievably well, amazingly. Okay, there that goes. So we have that. I need Matt. Where did you say that little dongle is? In the camera bag.
You've got a dongle. Your dongle on your end.
I have, but you don't have. Sorry, everybody. You have a little dongle somewhere.
No.
Is there one? Is there one?
No, the only one that you've got at your house is yours, because I have mine here at my
house. Okay, so what we're going to do, I'm going to pull you up on, hold on everybody, I'm very sorry about this. So, Matt, I'm going to go to, how do you do, okay, hold on, FaceTime. Okay, so folks, we're going to sign off just for a second with Matt, and sign on, Matt, I'm going to try and, let's see if we can do this, hold on everybody, I'm sorry, forgive me. Okay, Matt, so you should be on FaceTime right now. Is it calling you?
Yeah, I'm still on.
Okay. There you are.
Hey.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on, everybody.
While you're doing that, if you wanted to mention, there were a lot of people that were commenting on bootleg stuff and reporting stuff and all of that, which I think is really, really great. So thanks to everybody.
Hold on. Okay, Matt, go. Talk.
Oh, I was going to say a lot of the comments, too, that I saw were people that were reporting bootleg merchandise, which I thought was great. So thanks to everybody for helping us out with that.
Yep. Yeah, that's great. Now, Matt, look, do you like yourself here?
Yeah, I mean, it looks about the same. It's perfect.
Okay, and you're nice and loud. Okay, so what were we talking about?
Car wash.
Oh, yeah, the car wash.
Well, you were talking about going through the car wash.
Yeah, so going through the car wash, and the Tesla's a great car. It's an amazing vehicle, but it's not, man, we're not, it's, the cars are becoming disposable, just like cell phones. So it's an amazing car, but I don't see that as a collector vehicle that we're going to hang on to for 20, 30 years.
True. It makes me wonder, like, in 30 years, are you going to see one of those cars at a car show?
I don't know. They're producing so many of them, and they just get better and better, and they keep improving them. It's going to be like a cell phone where, you know, you just get, it's the family car, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not the collectible car. Sweetheart, thank you very much.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Okay, so Matt, everybody should be able to hear you perfectly. Now, let me go on to the little Jeff thing. So here's the dummy. They're going to make it out of that other type material, and but it'll be basically this shape, I hope, and it'll have the hole in the back, but here's the magical part. And again, when you have a ventriloquist dummy, this is what you want. The head goes down inside here, trigger goes down in there, and you've got the ventriloquist dummy. And, believe it or not, Matt, that's exactly scale on everything. That's how big his head is compared to his body on the real one. But here's going to be again, this is like a real ventriloquist dummy. And again, this is just the toy that's going to be available, hopefully around Black Friday for this coming Christmas. And, you know, arms and legs, and he's going to be great. Now, Matt, I scanned the real Peanut's feet, and it's 1 foot with a shoe and one barefoot, and I scanned his hands. And last night, I printed the shoe at the same scale that the head and the body are, 65%, right? You're not going to believe this.
Right.
Here's the shoe, right? The foot with the shoe. Look how crazy this is, how big this is.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like, but this is the exact same size, because on the real Peanut, when you put his foot sitting on a counter like this, it reaches up to the middle of his little boobies there. And so this is he has huge feet. Well, you know, he has huge feet, and his hands are going to be the same way. But when you have a cartoonish character like that, and the hands are big and the feet are big, that's usually what they do. They exaggerate those for some reason. It makes it cuter. It makes it more fun. So
I'm really impressed with the detail on that thing.
Oh yeah, the detail on the shoe is pretty amazing. And again, it's just a flat out scan. There's still some support material left that I haven't gotten rid of. But there's the folks on Facebook.
Shoelaces are crazy.
Oh, yeah, shoelaces are great. So, you know, and again, I don't know how much the factory is going to copy on this, but this, you know, this, let me see if I can see everybody. So this is a toe, this is a toe, this is a toe. Yeah, it'll be really, really good. It's going to be fun. And these will be made out of the same vinyl rubber. His chest piece right here will be out of that same vinyl rubber, plastic, whatever it is. And then this will hopefully be some kind of cloth fur and not painted. And I'm, you know, again, it's all the prototype. They're working on it right now. So hopefully this will all work out.
That's great.
All right, Matt, before we move on, I want to show everybody, Matt, we talked about sometimes doing making this a regular thing where I answer people questions on Tuesdays. And if I do that, I like to, you know, I have a collection of toys, some goofy stuff, and we showed some things in the past. I want to show you something, Matt, that you have never seen that I pulled out of the archives. And I've had this since it was first came out in 1978. And I walked into a magic store, and it got me. It was on the shelf, just eye level, and I picked it up. And I'm going to pick it up where it doesn't. But this is morbid and awful, but this was the late 70s. Nobody cared. But look at this right here.
Oh.
It's a tiny little electric chair, okay? And I know that it's pretty morbid, right? Pretty morbid. You see it?
So this is the one that you bought in 1978, or did you have to track this down?
I may have tracked this down somewhere else. I think mine, honestly, is still in my storage container in Texas when I packed up from college, and I have not been back to that storage container since I moved away. I went back one time and opened it up and looked and went, there's too much stuff in here. But I've actually had a storage container since 1988 in Dallas.
Wow.
That still has stuff from college in it, and I'm pretty sure this is in it. But I got this from somewhere else. I got this off eBay. But here's the scary part about this, Matt. If you pick it up the way you're supposed to pick it up, it shocks the living hell out of you.
Oh, I remember those toys.
Yeah, absolutely. And this
like
one.
A lighter and a book, and you'd open the book, and it would like make your bones clap together.
That's right. But this one right here, you can see the electronics underneath it. But this one. Is activated by these pins. When you pick it up, the pins, you know, when you push it down, it turned off. You pick it up, it turns on. And the way it shocks you, there's all the electronics. I put my Radio Shack battery in there, is you touch the edges of the chair right here, like what you'd normally like pick it up, like this, like that. And I can hear it right now. It's going, ee!
Oh, no.
And I'm too chicken to touch it.
You better keep that out of Jack and James's way.
Oh, yeah. I kept it out of my son's way for sure. But, yeah. You remember those shocking toys when we were kids, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. The book, you'd open it, said something like sex secrets, and you'd open it up and it would shock you.
That's right.
Yeah.
They had those at Spencer's in that 18 and over section.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, I am chicken to pick this thing up. Should I do it live on camera?
Yeah, let's see that.
All right, can everybody see it? All right, it's sitting right there. Okay, Facebook can see it. YouTube, you guys can't see it. Hold on a second. Right.
No, YouTube, I can see it.
Oh, really? You can see it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have not done this in 30 years. I can't do it. I freaking can't do it.
One, two, three, go.
I can't do it. And when I showed this to Audrey, she'd never seen it before, and I showed it to her. And I could see, I said, yeah, when you pick it up, it shocks you. I could see that look on her face of, and this is what I love about her, that, you know, she is just the sweetest woman, but there's a dark side to her, too, that nobody ever really sees. And you could see that in her eyes, like, I'm going to pick that up. I want to see what that shock feels like. And she didn't do it either.
The best part is I'm on YouTube at the moment, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at the comments, and everybody's saying, do it, do it, do it. You can do it.
Okay. Oh, my God. Oh, jeez. Just for a second. Okay, that was enough. Oh, my God. It sends a tingle all the way up to your elbow. Oh, my gosh. All right.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Okay.
How is that legal?
I don't know how that is legal. I don't know. All right. So what else do we want to talk about? Let's do some questions. I got a couple more things to chat about as well.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you bring up that because there were a couple of questions. M. Bubble wanted to know, what hobbies have you taken up lately since the quarantine has started?
Hobbies. Honestly, I haven't taken up any hobbies. And, you know, Matt, we do videos every once in a while. But what I've really started concentrating on is this merchandise stuff because I've always wanted to do this peanut dummy. And believe it or not, this takes a long, long time. This is just like building a real dummy. It's just smaller. And, you know, I re-sculpted everything. This is I love this. This is almost a caricature of the real peanut. But, you know, to build this, to sculpt it in clay, and then scan it and get it to print, and then redo it if you hate it, and then do the body and the feet and the hands and all that. This has been a project now for a little while. So I don't know. Have I been doing anything else? I haven't been doing anything else. Just this and doing our videos and taking care of our boys. So that's...
Well, yesterday you mentioned to me that you started looking for...
All right. No, don't mention that yet. Don't mention that yet because I got to find the best ones of everything. I am a collector. There's some of the people ask you that question all the time. What's something about you that nobody knows? Well, I always have to be collecting something. It doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to be little. And it's the hunt to me that's fun. So the thing I'm collecting now, Matt, everything is like $10.
That's great.
Everything in the collection is like $10 because, you know, I have no income right now. And so every one of these little items is like $10. And I'll show the collection once I get a pretty good, decent size one. And there's always somebody who can beat me in every collection, but I don't care. I just have fun doing it. What are some of the other things I collected? I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's funny because there was, where is it? Somebody mentioned seeing one of your videos and the speakers in the background. And that's one thing that you hopped on for a while was collecting speakers.
Yeah, it wasn't just the speakers. It was all the, because I was, and again, people made fun of Radio Shack and realistic audio components back in the day in the 70s. But like most manufacturers today, they would farm out some of their components and get, there was no such thing as that. I don't think there was such thing as a realistic built component, be it an amplifier or speakers or whatever. There was always somebody else. They just put their name on it. It's the same thing with Samsung. I don't know if I have this right or not, but I know Best Buy has their brand, but it's made by some big manufacturer, but they sell it for less. It's this exact same television, but they sell it for less because they put their name on it. And there's no markup there. So Radio Shack and Tandy and Realistic did the same thing. And so three years ago, I started collecting some of the best components from the 70s. And I have some beautiful analog speakers and amplifiers and turntables, all stuff from that era. And yeah, some of these speakers are crazy. And you listen to them today and they're unbelievably great. They have that beautiful, deep analog sound to them. Okay, whatever. What else?
Well, if you really want to get into the regular questions, Matthew 14 wanted to know, what character's voice is the hardest to maintain over time?
The hardest character voice to maintain over time. Well, it used to be Ahmed simply because he screamed all the time. Larry, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
The Trump advisor, because he was he sounded like Bobcat Goldthwait. Or no, Sam Kennison. He sounded like Sam Kennison. He was just... So that was the toughest one for a while. But it's interesting because you there's a way of screaming that you can scream without affecting your vocal cords. And somehow I figured that out. And I'm able to do Ahmed and Larry a lot longer now. And it is some of those voices. I mean, when we're doing shows, it's 5 nights in a row, and each show is 2.5 hours. And again, though I do vocal rest, it sounds really... Maybe that's why this pandemic hasn't bothered me as much, because isolated at home, because I was always isolated on the tour bus for my voice to work. I wouldn't talk to anybody for 20 hours at a time. I'd walk off on stage, get on my tour bus, close the door, and we'd take off, and the crew would be on their bus, and I'd be on my bus, and I wouldn't talk to anyone for 20 hours every day. Kind of sad, but that's how it was.
And have you ever had like missed a show because of laryngitis or ever had to like battle through that?
Honestly, Matt, in I think the 30 years, knock on wood, of doing the shows, I think I've had to cancel maybe 3 or 4, but two of them were because I got a major nasal infection or throat infection, and I had to get spinal taps twice.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, nasal and throat infection. So I had to cancel some of those shows. You can't really do a show well when you got 105 temperature and you're getting ready to have brain damage.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that happened twice. And then the other one was I was just sick and had laryngitis. Yeah. But,
wow.
Yeah. So knock on wood. There you go. Hey, I got something to talk about for a second. Knock off freaking merchandise.
Yeah.
So we've announced this a few times, and there's a lot of knockoff merchandise out there, especially now they're doing the face, the masks, and a lot of t-shirts, and we've been fighting this, and it's an ongoing lawsuit. But Matt, I just wanted to show everybody the difference between getting stuff like what you have on or from my Amazon store or from our website. My Amazon store and our website is the only place to get our merchandise. Everything else is usually a knockoff. So, of course, there's stuff on eBay, but anyway. So let me show you here.
So you ordered one of these and had it come to the office.
I did not order it. An employee ordered it and had it come to the office so it wouldn't have my name on it. But here is Bubba J driving a car. This is ordered from one of the knockoff merchandise places. So there's Bubba J. And, you know, on camera, it's like, oh, that isn't so bad. Until you hold it up next to, let's find another one here. So there's Bubba J's truck. Here's one that we did that was just Bubba J's truck. That we did for the special, the Dallas special. He wore it there. So let's compare trucks right here, shall we? There's your difference right there. Can we see that? Can you see it?
Yeah, I can't even read the license plate on that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you can't. So.
And you can see where they've trimmed poorly around the truck, and there's even artifacts around the. Yeah. I mean, it's just bad.
Here's ours. Here's theirs. It's just horrible. It's washed out. It's terrible. The image is even stretched. It's all wrong. So this is good stuff. Yeah. This is ours. This is their garbage. Those scum bucket inbred piece of garbage thieves. Here, I'll hold this up. So there you go. That's one of ours. All right. So anyway, and we have email address for people to report fake merchandise?
I'll have Fausto send that to me now.
All right. And Bill Bowman says, why didn't Facebook block knockoffs from being sold? They are working on it. Facebook is really great with us. When we report it, they get them taken down almost immediately. So
it's fakemerch@jeffdunham.com.
Fakemerch@jeffdunham.com. The second Romulan says, hey, keep it kid-friendly. What did I say?
Oh, I don't know.
Scum.
Maybe when you were going off on the scum bucket.
I said scum bucket, piece of garbage, inbred. Infidels.
So this is an interesting question.
Yeah.
Glassmarie 8539 wants to know, how would peanut say, and I'm going to spell it, P-E-C-A-M.
P-E-C-A-M.
N.
Oh.
Like the nut.
I think he said M.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he has his own lingo, but I think everyone in my show says pecan.
Because it's funny, because being from Texas, I'm from North Carolina, we say pecan.
Well, that's what Bubba J says. Yeah, everybody said Bubba J. He goes, pecan. Let's see. I got my pecan pie. I can't do his voice without him. Isn't that what's weird? Is I can't do Bubba J's voice if he's not here. I don't even know how he talks. I have to be looking at him.
Well, hold up the peanut head and let's hear him say pecan or pecan. See what comes out of his mouth.
Let's see. What do I want to say? But how do you say P-E-C-A-N? Nut. Thank you. I'm here all week.
Right.
Yeah.
Pecan.
Pecan. Pecan. Pecan. Pecan. Pecan. Right. Yeah. Pecan. Right. Yeah.
And what would Bubba J say?
Pecan pie.
Pecan.
Pecan pie. 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 Pecan. Pecan pie. Pie. Right. Yeah.
It's very good.
Thanks a lot. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are we done?
We're done.
I'm going to sit down. I'm going to lay down. Okay. Can I have a body soon?
I'm working on it.
Okay. I got big feet and big hands. Right. We know what that means.
Okay. Anyway.
what did that guy say about keeping it family
friendly? I'm keeping it family friendly. I just saw Walter Mouth Face something. Great. A shout out from the Philippines. I can't see the name. Jay. I can't see the last name. All right. Anyway. Daniel Dodge. Jeff, come to a show in the little town of Julietta, Idaho, 83535. You'll be very welcome right now. Oh, thank you, Daniel. Very nice. Glenn Kane, what about Facebook pages? One just requested me to follow it, but spelled your... Yeah, that's what's thing about these... Oh, that's the other one. You got these charlatans out there that pose as me saying I'm giving away $5,000 and all you have to do is, you know, whatever. Or I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for money. So that's not me. And I'm not going to give anything away like that. we give to charity. We give to a lot of charities, and that's how we do it. So I'm not asking for your money. Those are all fake. Fake. So there.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that commented on that as well, which is awesome because your fans are very diligent about that.
It's really cool. And please report that. And Fausto should have it around here somewhere.
Yeah, fake merch at jeffdunham.com.
Bruce Mavis, how about Vancouver BC tour? Yeah, we'll be, guys, we're going to be making all these as soon as this world gets back to somewhat of normalcy. We're going to have a giant tour, and a lot of shows are still scheduled. Those are on my website. We're just moving them and, rescheduling them as time moves on, so who knows. Stephen the Gamer, why don't we get Walter's wife and put them out together? And that's another thing I thought we'll do. I'll come up with that later. Matt, when I get done with his peanut, the next thing I'm working on is Little Jeff 2. He's just going to be a little cuter, a little more cherub, because Little Jeff 1s are all ran out, and I did that on purpose. Because we're going to do Little Jeff 2. So he'll also have moving eyes and moving mouth, and those won't be out at Christmas time, I don't think. B-A-D-A-R, hello, Jeff, please come to Morocco. I haven't been to Morocco.
Wow.
Could you please tour in Wales? Wow, these are great. All right, what else, Matt?
So Schnitzel12 wants to know, what's the funniest joke you have ever played on somebody using ventriloquist skills?
Schnitzel12. What's the funniest joke I've ever played on someone using ventriloquist skills? Okay. So I was, this is the 1 year that I missed the ventriloquist convention that we have every summer in Fort Mitchell. I was with my church choir on a tour in 1977. So this goes way back to, I was 15 years old. And all of us in high school, and I somehow knew how to do a baby cry. And it became part of my act after this. I would roll up a blanket and make it look like a baby. It was the windbreaker from our tour. It was a Highland Park Presbyterian Crusader Church, Highland Park Presbyterian Church Crusader Choir. My buddy Mark Mills, he and I were buddies on the road there. And so I made it into a blanket. And we got on the subway in Paris, I think it was. I don't know, the first time I did it, and just made the baby cry and made people think I had a real little baby and it wouldn't shut up. And then finally I got tired of it and just shook the jacket out. And it actually freaked out a few people. It was a pretty great.
And that story actually made it into a bit that you did on stage.
Yeah, it turned into a bit. I would tell the story and do the bit, and it was the opening of my act for probably 10 years from high school on through college. Yep.
Yeah, there's a YouTube video that we did a year or so ago. It was a lost tape about Seamus not being the first baby in your act.
Yeah.
And that actual set is there, so if people want to check it out, it's on YouTube.
Somebody said, "Can we see the early Peanut designs before 2017?" I'm fascinated. There's no difference. His design is always the same. Now, because he's a Muppet, Verna made the first one. Marianne Taylor has been making the copies. And again, I build all the other dummies myself, including this Peanut, which will be for sale around Christmas time. He's basically been the same. The very first Peanut is the one I always use for photos. So it's pretty much the same.
So Isabella wants to know, did you ever get in trouble because of something you said or did in a show? And then the Cinevator wanted to know, what's the worst disaster that ever happened to you while at a show?
Okay, so did I ever get in trouble for things that I've said? Of course I've gotten in trouble for things that I've said. Okay, here's the most embarrassing one. And this, again, this goes back to the earlier days. I was doing a show. This was in Waco, Texas. I was doing a show for a church, and it was some church social dinner banquet. And I always picked on people in the front row. That I did shows in churches and Kiwanis clubs and corporate shows long before I was old enough to do shows in comedy clubs. So I was always picking on people in the front row. I would get the names of the president of the company or the minister or whatever it was, and I'd just pick on him a little bit, talk to him from stage. So I was talking to this one guy in the front row. I didn't know who he was, but I always would pick on people. And I'm talking to the guy, and he's making jokes, and he goes, "Now is this your the lovely young lady? Is this your mother?" And of course it was his wife.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. And to me, that poor 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid doing a show, that's who I was. I was mortified because the place knew, and the show was going okay, but not great. But the entire room of a couple hundred people just went dead quiet.
Ooh.
And it's my wife. I'm like, yeah, and there's no way to back out of that. No way to back out of that.
Did you ask her if she was pregnant when she was expecting?
No, I didn't ask her if she was pregnant. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's worse.
Okay, so here's the worst disaster that ever happens. I was in Waco, Texas, going to Baylor University, and somehow, and I was fairly well known around town then for doing shows because I did local commercials for Paparolo's Pizza on television, you know. So somehow I got to be friends with one of the judges, and he asked me to do a show, come in and do a little show, because they were having their monthly meeting of Texas judges or yearly meeting of Texas judges. And so, and it was only, you know, it was only like 4 miles from my apartment in Waco. So I grabbed my trunk and my suitcase. It had all my dummies and stuff in it, went there and did my baby thing, did the baby cry, did that bit. And then I introduced Archie, my dummy at the time, and I opened the trunk and it was a big, heavy trunk. Somehow I'd forgotten that the night before I had taken Archie out of the trunk to do something in my apartment, and the trunk was empty. There was no dummy in the suitcase. So I said to the guys, I said, guys, some of a problem here. I think my dummy's run away, and I'll be right back. And I ran out the door, got in my little 300ZX, zoomed over to my apartment, came back. And they were all sitting around and smoking their cigars and waiting. And they thought it had been some kind of joke and I had just left. But I came back and finished the show. It took me like 15 minutes to go get the dummy. So that was the worst.
Yep. Wow.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. So somebody wanted to know, how long does it take you to perfect the voices for your characters?
Perfecting the voices, that's an ongoing thing. If you go back to early versions of Bubba J, he sounds much different than he does now. Like in Arguing With Myself, he sounds much different than he does now. But Bubba J was brand new in Arguing With Myself. He was only, you know, a few months old. And then as time went on, his voice changed and morphed and developed. So that process can go on for a couple, 3 years. Until I settle in on something. But, yeah, that's the most important thing is the voice, what the dummy looks like and the voice. And again, I think the voice is actually more important than what the dummy looks like, because I can have a bag, talking bag, and still get lashed from it if the material's good.
Speaking of voices, Zach Hardest wanted to know, are there any plans on doing a voice for Peanut or Walter for the Waze app? His Uber and Lyft passengers get a kick out of hearing Bubba J and Ahmed.
You know what? Maybe that is something I should do while we're off, Matt. We do on the Waze app. You can find Bubba J and you can find Ahmed. And I guess one with Walter. We've talked about that and I never have done it. But you know what? Maybe maybe when I get done with making this peanut dummy and I finish resculpting little Jeff, maybe that's something I should get to. I think Walter should be first. And maybe Peanut. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Peanut would be funny.
I still listen to Bubba J everywhere I go.
Yeah, somehow Bubba J is not annoying when he on the Waze app. It's kind of charming.
Right? And as long as I've had it on my phone, he continually surprises me, like occasionally with something that I had not heard before.
Yeah, because there are a few Easter egg ones in there that don't get said very often. And it's kind of fun. So, yeah, you're right. Matt, remind me. Put that on the list of things to do. I'll do the Walter Waze voice and the Peanut Waze app voice.
And maybe, Fausto, if you want to post the link to those in the thread on Facebook and people that don't have it or didn't even know about it could download them.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Why would they want to download Waze? We're not driving anywhere.
Well, this is true. You can walk around your house and have Bubba tell you to make a left turn.
So there's nothing I hate more than going to the grocery store. And Audrey going to the grocery store is like me going to Home Depot. You can't get me out of the place, right? I love Home Depot. I'll walk around there for hours. And she wants to, you know, she wants to jump off a cliff when we go into Home Depot. So I've been so bored around here. Not bored, but I'm just kind of stir crazy. Getting a lot of stuff done. I can't stop working. But it's like I've been at this house for I don't know how long, and we hardly ever go out. So she goes, I'm taking James to the grocery store. And I'm like, well, Jack and I will go with you. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, we'll go too. So we went to the grocery store, masks and all.
Oh, yeah, the mask thing. Actually, a lot of people were asking about the characters in masks and their opinions on COVID. And I would just say, check out the videos that you did earlier in the summer where the characters kind of weigh in on the whole pandemic.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was reading questions too. But yeah, we did a couple of videos there at the beginning of the pandemic and a couple of really funny ones. I loved it. But then this thing hit and Matt can't come to the house anymore. So we don't... I refuse to do it all by myself. That one video, I had to do all the shooting and I just sent you the footage and you did all the magical edit work. But I got sick of that, man. I had to set up the lights, I had to set up the cameras, I had to tape it myself, get under the table and get in those weird positions and hold the dummies up. And I just like, nope, not alone anymore.
Well, the Bubba J one where he's in a tent in the backyard. I don't know if you remember using that.
Oh,
video.
I did do that
one.
I can
just imagine you laying in a tent in the backyard all by yourself, talking to yourself.
Yep.
Kim Scheider wants to know, what is your favorite joke from Ahmed, Peanut, and Walter?
Oh my gosh. What's the favorite joke?
Do you have a favorite joke from those guys for Ahmed?
Oh my gosh. How long has it been since I've done a show? It's been 4 months. How am I supposed to remember that? You know what, Matt? We just posted the best of Walter last week, right? And I got to tell you, there's one bit on there. And by the way, folks, you should go look at our YouTube channel. We've been posting the best of, some of the best of. So we did some of the best of Peanut and some of the best of Walter. And coming Friday is some of the best of Ahmed. And I got to tell you, Matt, you've been pulling these clips, and I don't go back and watch my own specials. So some of these, when you pull these clips, I'll watch them. And I'm like, I will sit there and laugh out loud because I've forgotten about all this material that I don't do anymore. Some of it, some of the best of I'll keep in the show and do as golden oldies. But most of it, 95% of it, all goes away. So there was that one bit with Walter. I think it was nag, 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 nag. Right?
That was the bit I was like, can we include this in a best of because it's so good.
It is so good, and it's not exact. It's PG. It's not horrible.
Right.
But that one made me laugh out loud. And that joke is, had an argument with your wife again. He goes, yeah. And I go, how'd that go? I can't repeat the joke. It's out of context. It's bad. Just go
to YouTube and check out the video.
Go to YouTube and check some of the best of Walter. And then some of the best of
the other one that you mentioned.
Hey, look, Matt, I'm sweating. This is gross. I'm in my hot garage.
Just lean a little bit to your left.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, those of you on YouTube saw it. Facebook, you didn't see it. I got a pit stain here. Sorry. It's hot in here.
The other joke that you brought up to me that you had forgotten about was Peanut during the Minding the Monster show, where he reads your mind.
Oh yeah, that's another bit during the Minding the Monsters. Well, Matt, you said the whole thing. There's a bit where he's playing Batnut, and again, this is in some of the best of Peanut, that video, and Peanut reads my mind. He gets to the last word in the sentence before I do. And of course, it's ridiculous, but he thinks he's come up with this brand new skill that he can complete my sentences for me. And what the funny part is, of course, it's great, and then it just goes downhill from there. Yeah. And I have to credit my buddy Steve Marmel, who actually came up with that idea. And
it was really great.
Yeah, and he wrote a couple of those jokes, I think. Just some twisted stuff. Thanks, Steve.
So back to the sort of best and worst thing, WBJ Cox 32 wants to know, what is the worst thing that your twins have done so far? Who is usually the ringleader and who is the follower?
What is the worst thing the twins have done so far? We keep such a friendly but tight leash on them. It's not like they haven't beat up another kid at school. They haven't spilled paint all over the place. We let them be kids, but I honestly can't remember anything that they've done that's been just horrible.
But would you say Jack or James is the ringleader when they get into mischief?
They are the absolute opposites in every way possible. And they each get in their own mischief on their own. They're very independent. Neither one follows the other. If they're doing something together, they, yeah, No, I'm coming up with nothing here. Maybe Audrey needs to be out here, but I just can't think of anything terrible that they've done. Jack is the one that sits in the car and will operate everything on the car. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
That's so funny because I thought you would immediately have a, oh my gosh, the other day they got into a such and such.
Wow, I wish I could think of something that's just terrible. Well, I'm guilty of drawing a blank right there. I'm also guilty of drawing a blank on my girls when they were little, because I don't know. You know, James does have a habit of taking off all his clothes and running out in the backyard.
Well, who did he get that from?
Both of us.
Lead by example, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. He does. For some reason, he loves taking off all his clothes and just running around. So I don't know. There was one picture I took yesterday, and you know you can't take these pictures, but he took off his clothes, and Jack and Audrey were out in the backyard, doing something over by that we're growing tomatoes, and James just goes running out there and stark naked, and Audrey looks at him like nothing's wrong, and they're just standing there together looking out over the, you know, at the valley there. We have a nice view, and you know she's standing there holding James's hand, and they're all looking out at something. I don't know what it was. And it's just like this perfectly normal moment. I took a photo and I just went average day in the backyard of the Dunhams. There's James standing stark naked.
I know that kid's going to be in college.
Oh, great. Well.
Speaking of being a father, it's funny because there were groups of questions that were in those threads yesterday where you were asking for questions in advance, and a lot of people asked, has Peanut ever thought about becoming a father? They asked about him having a, you know, relatives. It's something in the water. People want Peanut to have a relative.
Wow. You know, we did do baby Peanut in the Jeff Dunham show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It was some woman he met in a bar. She showed up
9 months later.
Yeah, she showed up with a love child, and it's this tiny little Peanut dummy that Marianne Dada. Taylor made. Yeah, Dada. That's right. That's right. The pacifier goes Dada. Where can you find the Jeff Dunham show? Is it? You can get it on YouTube.
Well,
right?
It's on DVD for sure.
Well, on DVD, but you can also get it on not Netflix, or is it Apple TV? Can you get it on Apple?
I'd have to check.
On you, on iTunes?
Yeah, I'd have to look.
All right, ask Fausto.
Fausto, where can we get the Jeff Dunham
show? Look on iTunes, see what you can get there. There's a couple of episodes there that are just not right. We couldn't do them today. Could not do them today.
Well, speaking of which, MathMath76 wants to know, how do you balance making slightly political jokes without making people upset?
How do you balance making slightly political jokes without offending people? It is a delicate, delicate balance. The world has changed since the last time I walked off stage. I'm not bothering to try to figure out what I'm going to do on stage anytime soon, because I know by the time I get on stage again, the world will be even more different than it is now. So I think the good comedian is one who really has their finger on the pulse of what's going on with that audience right there. But then the trouble with that is you can please that audience, make that audience laugh, but now with cell phones and the technology, it's no longer safe. So whatever you say on stage, you have to know that that's going to get out in the world now. There used to be a safety to comedy clubs and to live venues where you knew that whatever happened there stayed there. What happens on stage stays on stage. Not anymore. So it is a very difficult task for any performer, not just comedians, to say whatever you say, those words are there forever. And I'm not looking forward to trying to figure that out, because usually what people laugh at the hardest is the stuff that's not quite okay.
Yep.
And that fine line is constantly changing today. I mean, it's nuts. It's going to be a...
Well, like in 2016, we did a ton of election videos with Walter Crump and all of that stuff. Do you think you could make those videos today?
I don't even remember what they are, Matt, honestly. I'd have to go back and see the material, but I am surprised sometimes when I look back some of the stuff that was completely somewhat innocent and okay, and now it's like, oh man, no, you can't do that today. And I understand why. I understand sure. why. Have things gone far, a little far? Yeah, I just wish everyone would, you know, have a little more sense of humor about ourselves, but that's easy for me to say. So it's very difficult. You know, my goal has always been to make the most number of people laugh as much as they possibly can. And so, you know, sensitivities are tough right now. And on the other side of the coin, there are people that think it's just absolutely ridiculous and you should just do whatever you want. Well, that's not a good business plan either. So,
right. Oh, sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's tough. And I try not to take my politics on stage. I try and make fun of both sides just a little bit, but making fun of one side or the other, now it's like, it's almost like that's even more narrow of how much you can get away with. So,
for those who says that, yep. Jeff Dunham Show, it looks like it's free to stream on Comedy Central, which is
free to stream.
ComedyCentral.com. Yeah.
Free to stream
and
on
Comedy. Purchase on Amazon and Vudu.
Purchase on Amazon and Vudu? And it's not on Apple?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right. Great. So there's your answer. By the way, for those of you who joined us late, my project that I'm excited about right now is the peanut ventriloquist dummy. So there's his head. We showed him earlier. Yay. It's going to be a regular ventriloquist dummy, not a soft Muppet. There's his body. Woohoo! And I've sent the prototypes off to the manufacturer. They're working on them right now. There's a foot that I just printed last night. That's the one with the shoe. And so this is going to be fun.
Wow. And this is not a redesign.
This is not a redesign of the real peanut. This is a 2/3 size ventriloquist dummy that's going to be available to the public to purchase, hopefully for less than $100, and hopefully around Black Friday. Hopefully. Yep.
So Kay Rivera wanted to know, which characters do your boys like the most? Do they have a favorite?
You know what, Matt? I have not done a video or brought the characters out with the boys in months. But they tend to love, and I think they do, they love Peanut the most because he's wacky and crazy and you know, he's just nuts. And the boys love that the most, I think. They're not scared of Ahmed. They don't care.
What do they think about Bubba J?
Oh, yeah, they laugh. You're right. They laugh really hard at Bubba J. They do. Yep.
Jason Bowen wants to know, what's your least favorite part of making the dummies?
Least favorite?
You don't like doing. Oh, yeah.
The least favorite part. My favorite part is the painting parts of the painting and the sculpting. Installing the movements is a pain in the neck, and some of them are really complicated, especially like the baby Seamus, both eyes. Oh, and Earl, whose eyes go up and down and all over the place. That was a pain. I enjoyed, you know, figuring it out, but it's just. You know, I think that's what I enjoy because that's just math. That's mechanics.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really good at it. I make them butter smooth and they last forever. But I just, you know, it's just like, I'm not a machinist, but I know how to make them perfect. Sounds like I'm ragging, but for me, they're perfect. They work great. But then the artistry is in the sculpting and the painting. And that to me
and
is
And what about
fun.
Mold making? Did you...
I never made. I only made a mold one time.
Oh! I thought back in the day you made a bunch of them.
That's right, I did. Of my current characters, I made. Back before the 3D printer, 11, 12 years ago, I would sculpt them out of clay, and then the Walter. And when my buddy Jordan Cox in Waco, Texas, he reminded me of this. The first Walter, I was in my apartment in Waco. I sat up one night. There were only three networks. There was. NBC, CBS, and Fox. We didn't even have any, I don't think we had an ABC affiliate in Waco at that time. I think that's right. Is that right? I don't know. Anyway, so I can't be right, but it was before cable TV. And so I would sat there in my apartment one night with a knife and a lump of clay and a mirror and sculpted out the first Walter. And then the next day, my buddy Jordan comes over. We had to have a box to put the head in because you're going to pour the plaster of Paris, suspend the head in the box, fill it halfway with plaster of Paris, let it dry for half the mold, then pour the rest on for the second half of the mold, two-part mold, plaster of Paris mold. So Jordan and I had to go dumpster diving at my apartment to find the perfect size box.
Nice.
Yeah. And so we did.
And did you just use regular plaster?
What else do you use?
Well, they make harder stones. I just didn't know whether you were like really specialized or you just headed over to Ace Hardware.
No, I bought plasticine sculpting clay at the local art shop on Baylor campus, and they had had it for years and nobody had ever bought it, and I bought that. I still have that head, by the way, that original sculpted clay head from 1987, I think it was. And then the plaster Paris mold. And no, I just used regular plaster Paris. I didn't know there was a difference. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's softer. But...
Okay. Anyway. Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
And then in that mold went this stuff, the original version of this, plastic wood. So I made that first Walter head out of plastic wood. And yeah. So there you go.
Wow. So AllieMG239 wants to know, how do you switch voices for each dummy so smoothly? For example, when you did the bit with you, Peanut, Jose, like little JD, when you do that sort of rapid fire thing, what's the technique there, or is it just practice?
Practice. Just practice.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the things that I tell my kids. I've told my girls this, and I'm going to be telling my boys this, is find that passion in life. Start it very early, something that you love, and maybe you'll stick with it the rest of your life. And if you can make a living at it, great. And I think that's the way with a musician that plays a certain instrument or a sports figure that plays a certain sport. The earlier you start, the better, because all the mechanics become second nature. And then the art happens when you get a little bit older and you start to think about the details and the nuances of whatever it is that you're doing and how you're performing. And I think that's how it is with the ventriloquism, is I don't think about the mechanics anymore. There's a bunch of stuff going on there. You're talking about moving your lips. You're trying to think in two different personalities. You're having to manipulate. You're having to be funny. You're having to act. You're having to react. There's a lot going on. And those are the kind of things that I don't even think about anymore. So when it comes to performing, I'm thinking about the being funny, the punchlines and the timing of the jokes. And when it comes to switching the voices, that's just a mechanical thing. It just kind of happens after doing it for too long. Uh-oh.
Teresa.
I'm getting low on my battery here on my Facebook.
Maybe you want to do a couple more and then...
I forgot to plug these phones in. Doing on battery. Stupid.
It's okay.
All right.
Teresa Bolliard, who is a top fan on Facebook, by the way, wants to know, of all the characters you've retired, who do you miss performing with the most? Personal favorite was Monkey.
The Monkey. Yeah, the Monkey was great. He was kind of a one-note kind of guy. We should do this again next Tuesday, Matt, and I'll pull out a couple of these guys. I'll have a couple of these guys waiting. So, guys, next Tuesday, if we do this, I'll pull out a couple of the old characters and we'll chat. I think. I probably will. Okay. So which one do I miss the most? I think Melvin. Melvin the superhero. He has so much potential, and I just didn't follow up on that. After we did the special, I just kind of, again, it was already on the air, and people had seen it a million times, and I really didn't have much of a relationship with him. We hadn't had much of a history, so he just kind of went by the wayside. But I think Melvin the superhero should come back. There's so much potential now because superheroes have gotten so much bigger now than they were back in 2007.
Yeah, and I see a lot of questions in the comments asking about Melvin specifically. I think there's a lot of people who'd like him to return.
All right, we can do that. I think. Do you get royalties from viewership on Netflix? No, Peter, I don't get royalties from Netflix.
Boo.
It's one shot. Goodbye. Don't get royalties.
Peter Beckwith wanted to know, is there another Christmas special in the future? He loved the last one.
Oh, I'm glad you asked about the Christmas special. We are talking about that. And I think, Matt, we've got the Christmas special, I think, would be next. And I think there's a couple other holidays that we should, but it's been a long time since that first Christmas special came out. What was it, 2008?
Yeah, I think you shot in 08. No, maybe. It's 08, 09. You're right. It's in that ballpark.
I remember because my career was peaking and my personal life was plummeting.
Oh.
And then I met Audrey and the world changed.
So Kathleen Rilleri wants to know, she says that she loves your creativity and the crafting. did you take professional classes, or is this just a natural talent?
No, I didn't. I didn't take any classes at all. You know, when I was really young, my mother put me in art classes, but that was painting and stuff like that. And she encouraged the creativity. But when it came to sculpting, I was in college, and it was, you know, learning to make dummies was just mother is the, you know, necessity is the mother, is the mother. I just kind of taught myself and got a books and tips from a handful of people. My buddy Alan Seamock, who passed away this past year, he was the one that really helped me. He was a figure maker, a dummy maker, gave me all the tips on the mechanics. But then the sculpting I figured out by myself. The painting, I got some tips from anybody who knows these names, George McElroy, beautiful figure maker. He and his brother Glenn, back during the Depression, they were old guys, and they gave me a bunch of tips on figure making and the painting and the sculpting and all that. And I just learned from, you know, we stand on the shoulders of greatness. And that's how that happened.
And then, I was reading questions. There is a question, and I wonder, I'm actually curious about this, because somebody says, Tracy Kaser says, do you still have the three baby dinosaurs?
That wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was another ventriloquist. His name?
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
What's his name? I can't remember. By the way, Matt, make note of this. I just saw the question. So, yes, I will bring Melvin out next week. I guess. I don't have any material. I'll just bring him out and say a few words, and that's it. We'll bring Melvin out, and I think we should bring – maybe we should bring out one a week.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And maybe people can throw ideas. I don't know. It's just
goofy. Yeah, no, I think that's great.
And next week we'll have the Facebook camera turned the right way. My apologies to the Facebook folks. It was a technological nightmare. I had it all worked out.
Anybody that's gone alive can contest it. Once your phone locks in a position, it's impossible to turn it.
Yeah, I had it horizontal, and then when I hit go live, it went vertical, and I spent 5 minutes paper taping it up on top of the YouTube one. So Facebook is up here, YouTube is down here. Anyway.
Here's a question that's interesting. Shizzy Lavelle wants to know, have you ever considered putting Peanut and Walter on stage together?
Peanut and Walter on stage together. That's an interesting dynamic. I've never... I could. But you know, Matt, I do multiple figures at once every once in a while, but they go together. What I don't want to do is turn it into a puppet show. You know what I mean? I don't want it to turn into a puppet show. To me, this is stand-up comedy. It's a duo. It's a team. And so I love the relationship and the acting and the reacting that happens there. The minute you start doing this and singing songs, it's a puppet show. And I don't want to do that. I like the stand-up comedy aspect of it. So Peanut and Jose are on stage because they are foils for each other. I don't know. It's impressive.
But what's interesting is you do sometimes have Walter chime in from the trunk. So there is that relationship without having.
And for some reason, the audience thinks it's hilarious when we talk about the dummies' relationships each other and with me off of stage. Those bits, when we talk about, you know, the experiences they've had and what they've done, the audience just eats it up because in the mind's eye, you know, the imagination in the mind's eye is just so much fun. I'm going to plug this other phone in real quick. I can see what happened. It pulled out when I was messing with it. So hang on.
Yep.
Hang on right here. I'm going to plug it in back here. Oh, no. I covered the plug up with tape. Hold on.
Where did he go?
Hold on, everybody. Hang on. Where's the hole? Okay. Hang on. There. Okay. Now it might be lower. Oh, no. Where is it? Okay, now it's lower. Okay. I don't know if it's charging or not. Oh, well, whatever. All right, few more minutes.
Gene Harmon, 835, and Pavel, there's a lot of letters there, consonants, were both mentioned animated features. The first question was, when's your next animated feature coming? And then the other one was, have you ever thought of doing an animated feature?
We did Ahmed Saves America. And Audrey and I and the kids went back and walked that the other day. And there's a lot of stuff in there that you couldn't do today. So you can find Ahmed Saves America on Netflix, is it? I think it's Netflix. I think it's Netflix.
Yeah, which also, Fausto chimed back, the Dunham Show is also available on Apple TV.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I think you can get the Aquaman Saves America on Apple TV or Netflix. I can't remember which. But, yeah, there's stuff in there where you just go, so, it was fine back
so
then.
So Sydney Beckin wants to know, have you ever considered making puppets to replicate James and Jack?
Puppets to replicate James and Jack. Wow. No, I've never thought about that.
But you know what's interesting? When you were making Seamus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was making Seamus, I took pictures of James, and there is a whole bunch of James in Seamus. His ears, his cheeks, just because he was a cute little round little baby. Poor little Jack. The boys were 5 weeks premature, and Jack was the runt of the litter.
Oh.
He was. He is a strapping young man right now. But when he was a baby, it was like, oh, no, no. We took him out too early. Put him back. So he was a skinny little runt of a guy. And now he's just wiry. You know how people, Matt, you've heard people, when they want to look a certain way, when they want to lose weight, you take a picture of somebody that you want your body to look like. And you put it on the refrigerator, and some people even take their own heads and cut it out and put it on there, and that motivates you to eventually look like that. It motivates what you eat and what you don't eat. I don't know if you've heard of this, Matt, but it's a thing. Well, whenever I think of that, I just want to take a picture of Jack in a swimsuit, because that little kid is cut. He has abs. I guess Holden is the same way, right?
Yeah, my son is all muscle, no fat.
He's ripped.
Shredded.
And he was shredded when he was 10.
Yeah, no, he was shredded when he was 6.
Yeah, well, that's the way Jack is now. He's 4, and it's like you just look at him and you go, oh, my gosh. It's like he's like the David statue, but a little tiny kid. You know what I mean? It's just like it's like perfection. That's the way the human body is supposed to look. So, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with not looking like that. I'm just saying that, you know. Okay, I'm going to stop talking now.
Yeah, we're getting back to the stuff you can't do on stage
anymore.
Yeah,
the stuff you can't talk about. Yeah, I'm just saying, if I was in perfect shape, I'd like to look like that. There.
Justin Noble 5492 wants to know, is there a way you can make a younger Walter?
Oh, why is that ringing a bell? I did do that. What was that
in
for?
In Relative Disaster.
Oh, help me out here.
Well, when we did the flashback scene of Walter when he was much younger. With the van?
Oh, with the van, of course. Oh, yeah. My gosh, and he had the afro. So we got a 70s van. Which one do we use? We used the blue. Well, we did the interior was the Barris super van.
That's right.
Which is the worst movie ever made. It's called Supervan. And
the coolest van ever, maybe.
The coolest van, yeah. It had a rotating bed in it, and a round bed, and a mirror ball, and all the reel-to-reel stereo, the whole thing, red shag carpet. That was the interior. But the exterior was the blue street van, the Dodge blue street van. And we had graphics made to go. It was called Walter's, what?
The Walter Wagon.
The Walter Wagon, yeah. So
we had other names for that. Do you remember? We went through several names trying to...
Yeah, and where can people see Relative Disaster? It's where is that part? Is that when we introduce Walter?
Yeah, it's in the middle of Walter's set where he decides to make a revelation.
So Relative Disaster, yeah, you can see Walter as a guy in the 70s with an afro wig, and he opens the van window and green smoke comes out. You can figure it out.
Yep. That was a really fun shoot.
Oh yeah. Oh, and we'd have a shot of the van door closed and it bouncing up and down, which is just wrong. And then when we go into the interior of the van, Walter's just laying there telling the hooker to jump rope.
Yeah. What could they possibly be doing in there? Yeah,
she's jumping rope for him, and he gives her $20.
And the other thing that's really interesting about that sequence is not only did we use a lot of your old, like, 70s cars,
yep.
But you make a cameo in that scene if you look very quickly.
Oh, yeah. I'm Burt Reynolds driving the 78, 79 Trans Am. 77 Trans Am, the black one. I go by and I have on a hat and a fake mustache. Yep, that's right.
Yep. And you spike the camera. You look right into the lens. Awesome.
But you know what was great about that, Matt, is we used as many of those of my cars, those 70s cars, in that video as possible. Do you know why?
Oh, tax purposes?
I was able to write every one of them off. IRS
That's
doesn't
a sign of a good accountant.
Yeah, the IRS doesn't watch me. We're fine. Yeah.
Oh, this is an interesting question. Lindsay,
yep.
Wants to, she says she can't wait for you to come back to Arizona, but her question is, when do you find yourself the most creative?
In the morning, right when I wake up. There is no doubt in my mind. When I roll out of bed, like when I'm in that, I'll find my things self thinking of things in the middle of the night and wake up and go, oh, that's how I do it. You know, when I learned that, Matt, is building my first helicopter, the real one. And I would try, and it was, you know, a learning curve. The helicopter was supposed to take 600 hours to build, took me 2,000. And I was 24 years old. I was their youngest builder ever. And I couldn't figure out how to do something. You know, all these hand tools were new to me. All this stuff was very new to me. And yeah, I flew that thing for hundreds of hours and was never killed and built two more after that. But 5 in the morning, and I usually do, or 5:30, if I sit down and start writing, that's usually the funniest stuff. And I also found when I was doing comedy clubs and was on, you know, airplanes all the time, I would get 3 hours of sleep, get to LAX at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, and sit on the airplane, zero sleep, and I'd start writing, and I'd come up with the funniest stuff. And I'd then put the laptop, go to sleep, on the airplane, wake up, get to the hotel room, look at it, and go, I don't remember writing any of this, but this is great.
Sometimes it's better when you discover it all, you know, for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. So I when I'm dead tired, or when I've woken up, wake up in the morning, those are my best times for being creative.
Awesome.
So all this sleep we've gotten during the pandemic isn't helping me a bit for my career. There, we're back. Sorry, folks, I had a phone call coming in. Well, you know what,
Somebody
Matt?
Called your camera.
Yeah, I actually do have a conference call that's supposed to start right now. So this has been great. We've been here for over an hour, right?
Yeah.
Well over an hour. So everybody, this is great. I don't know if we can keep this up, but I'm going to try. I think every Tuesday is great. I think we'll try and bring out a new character. Yeah, we've been on for 72 minutes. That's great. I'll try and bring out a new character next week and the week after that. Not a new character, an old character that I haven't used in a long time. I got two or three in mind that are in the closet in my trunk of either past characters or the trunk of what the hell was I thinking. So I think that'll be fun. Uh-oh, there's that call. Anyway.
Yeah, you're being summoned.
I know. Anyway. All right. So, Matt, thanks for doing this. This is great. And everybody, we will have the Facebook worked out better next time, and you'll be horizontal instead of vertical, which is always a good thing.
And be sure to check out some of the best of Ahmed on Friday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that brand new video we posted last week, some of the best of Walter, and was last week. The week before that was some of the best of Peanut. And this Friday is some of the best. Could you answer that stupid thing and just hang up on him? I don't even know why we have a landline. Thank you, sweetheart.
Me either. I've got a landline. I refuse to answer it.
I do it because we do radio, and you know you have to do radio from a landline. So when I do radio, it's that. But man, it bugs me. Whenever somebody calling like that, I know it's not anybody I want to talk to.
Right. It's a survey.
Yeah.
Or they want to sell me a car warranty.
Yeah. And I've noticed if you go pick up, hang up, they don't call back. Pick up, hang up. That for some reason that's a trick.
Oh.
But you used to give your phone to your kids.
Oh, yeah, I would let my kids talk to them. Jessica had a character named Betty Buttcheeks, and she would always answer the questions for the survey, political surveys or whatever.
That's really funny. That's great. All right, thanks again, everybody. This has been fun. And just remember, if you're ever sad, get out your tiki torch. Always makes you happy. I don't know what I'm talking about. And again, the toy of the day, the fake electric chair. I got it in 1978 at the magic store. It scared the hell out. It didn't scare me. It hurt me. Because when you pick it up like this, like that you should, it shocks the living crap out of you. And those are worth
I'm going to have to find one of those.
They're worth about $300 on eBay. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. See ya. Oh, I have to turn off now. You're usually the one hitting off, Matt. I'll see you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Here. I'm touching my screen, but nothing's happening.
I'm touching my screen and nothing's happening. I don't know where. Oh, there it is. Thanks, everybody. See you next time. All right. And.